Today's scripture is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 12, verses 22 to 34. He said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens, they neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? If then you are not able to do so small a thing as that, why do you worry about the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon, in all his glory, was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, you of little faith? And do not keep striving for what you are to eat and what you are to drink, and do not keep worrying. For it is the nations of the world that strive after all these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, strive for his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourselves that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. Do not worry. We can kind of chalk that teaching up alongside the others that are easier said than done, right? So Jesus kind of starts off really early. Don't worry about your life, what you eat, or about your body. So here today, right now, how many of us worry about our lives? That's about 100 people that do and about another 100 that are lying. So that works out. How many worry about your bodies, worry about your health? All right. How many of you are worried about what you eat? Some of y'all are thinking about what you're going to eat here in about 45 minutes. Do not worry. We worry all the time. It's funny, even in getting ready for the sermon this week, the sermon title that's printed in the bulletin is The Worry Paradox, Less is More. The original title for today's sermon was The Worry Paradox, The More You Do It, The Less It Works. But the problem is that wouldn't fit on the sign out front. So I spent about 2 days worrying about the title that would fit on the sign and still communicate what it was that I was doing. And so as I was talking to the staff, as I was talking to the pastors, I said, it's kind of ironic that I'm spending so much time worrying about this sermon on not worrying about things. So what do we do with this teaching? Just telling us not to worry, even just in and of itself, makes us worry a little bit. And so through the month of August, we're dealing with some of these tougher teachings. We're talking about teachings that when we first hear them, we're not exactly sure what to do with them at first. Maybe in our first steps of our faith, or maybe we've been coming to church for a while, there's certain teachings that Jesus gives us that are so confusing or so difficult, or we're not exactly sure how to accomplish them, that we kind of put them off to the side for a minute. I think every one of us would say that we would hope to achieve a life and where we don't worry as much as we do, but the fact of the matter is worry is a part of our lives. And so while these lessons are hard, the temptation is to just pass them by as good advice, as life lessons, to know that they're good Christian conduct or good theological principles, but to really live into them is hard. And so in the month of August, we're taking some extra time with some of these tougher lessons from Jesus. We talk about wealth. We talk about worry. We talk about what it means to be a disciple. We talk about all sorts of these tougher teachings that Jesus is going to be tackling. And so he's going to spend a little extra time on it for these extra credit lessons. That these are the lessons that if we do wrap our minds around them, if we take just a small step towards not worrying as much in our lives, then that small extra credit step that we take has so much bigger steps of faith that kind of open up in our lives. So today, just don't worry anymore. It's as easy as that, right? In our scripture lesson this morning, we come to a very interesting portion of the Gospel of Luke as Jesus is kind of peppering the disciples with a bunch of different lessons, a bunch of different teachings. There's teachings on hypocrisy. There's teachings on wealth. There's teachings on what it means to be submissive. There's all these teachings that Jesus is kind of throwing at the disciples all at once. And every single one of them is hard enough on their own to grasp. But at a point, you almost get a sense that maybe the disciples aren't absorbing as much as Jesus thinks that they're absorbing. Even in the parable right after this one, Peter kind of sticks his hand up in the air and he asks Jesus, is this a teaching for us or is this a teaching for everybody? Which in my mind is the educational equivalent of Peter kind of sticking his hand in the air and asking, is this going to be on the test? How much do we really have to pay attention to what you're saying, Jesus? And I think some of us kind of take that approach as well. That when it comes to worry is so much a part of our lives that we're not even sure what we would be like if we didn't worry. And so how do we separate the worry that we feel on a daily basis and then the lesson that Jesus has to just simply not worry? And so we look at some of the examples that Jesus gave us. And multiple of these teachings that we've been talking about recently, Jesus has been using these comparisons from the lesser to the greater, right? And so he's using that kind of technique here as well. And he talks about, consider the ravens of the air, the way that they don't have a barn or a storehouse to store up food or an abundance of things that they need, but somehow God still provides for them. Consider the lilies of the field. Consider all these different things that don't seem to have a day or a moment of worry in their lives, and yet God still seems to take care of them. And then Jesus asks them, what does worry actually accomplish in your life? Can it make your life even 10 minutes longer? Can it extend your life? Can it make your life more wholesome? Can it make it more fulfilling? Can it make your life more satisfying? And I'm not sure any one of us would say that we're excited to lay down at night worrying about what's to come the next day. And so Jesus is kind of pointing out in a very real way with these images of if God can take care of the ravens and the flowers, then surely he can take care of you. As a lesson to almost remind us that we are spending so much time holding on and striving for the most basic needs that we need in this life that we're not freeing ourselves enough to reach for the higher things of the kingdom of God. Reaching out for the things that God wants us to be paying attention to, the relationships that we need to be reaching into. And so one of the parts of the lessons that Jesus is teaching here is that while we're up worrying about that person or that thing that's going to steal our possessions, that's going to steal our life, and going to steal our time, Jesus is saying worry is the very thief in and of itself that's stealing your time, your life, your things. This black hole that we lose ourselves into, trying to hold on to the things that are the most basic, that we're missing out on the things that are higher. As Jesus begins to unwind these lessons for the disciples, again, I imagine that they don't come just at once, but they take some time to sit and to think about and to consider. And so the question that comes out of the teaching is, how effective is worry in our lives? What have we actually accomplished? Now, for some of us, worrying is a way of preparation. Simply having a small bit of concern or anxiety about the things that are going to come to make sure that we're preparing for situations, for circumstances, for friends and family to come over, for goals that we have in life. It's healthy to have a certain concern or anxiety for the things that are to come. But I'm not sure that that's the worry that Jesus is talking about. I think what Jesus is talking about is the worry in this scripture, is the worry that strips us of our identity. It strips us from our sense of purpose of who we are. That if we're so concerned of holding on to the things that we've earned and the things that we've gotten, we're so afraid of losing our time, our possessions, and our lives, Jesus says that's what the nations of the world do. They worry like that. Not the children of God. The children of God have other things on their mind. That worry is a temptation of paralysis, of freezing us into a moment that instead of preparing for the things to come, instead we do nothing. Worry. The more we do it, the less it works. How many of us, the more that we've worried about a problem, the bigger the problem seemed to tackle? It has a way of growing, of gaining momentum and anxiety over our lives that cripples us. And so when we think about the type of worry that moves us, think about these examples that Jesus gave. The ravens, the flowers. The type of worry that cripples us and paralyzes us to actually doing anything is really more a warning of don't be like the ravens of the air that are so concerned with gathering up those final few crumbs that they never spend any time flying. Don't be like the lilies of the field that are so concerned about what they look like that they're never willing to bloom. Always be doing something, moving forward in some way, and fighting the urge that worry tends to have in crippling us and paralyzing us into doing nothing but sitting there and worrying. The very thief that we're afraid will come is already here. But luckily, Jesus leaves us an antidote in the end of the story, doesn't he? As we move to the last couple verses, he talks about what it means to pour your lives and begin to give your lives away to others. Sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourselves that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. That one of the ways to not worry so much about the things that we have, the time that we have, is to give it away for free. To move ourselves away from being so concerned of the things that we have accumulated and that we have protected in our lives, and to begin to give them away to others instead. If you want to see your worries unravel, begin to help somebody unravel theirs. And we begin to see a richness that comes not as the nations of the world worry, but as the children of God focus on something greater and higher and deeper. There's two basic reflexes in the human condition. A reflex to grasp and a reflex to let go. Which one of those leaves us tense? And which one of those gives us freedom? The kingdom of God of what we're supposed to strive after, of what comes without any cost at all and is free to all of us, is a treasure to be given away. It's not the basic things that we need in life. God has already held you in the palm of your hand and knows your name. Surely he can provide for the most basic things. But for some of the worries of the world, for some of the worries of the church, for some of the worries right here outside these walls in this city and community, I believe God is hoping that some of us will begin to move into those spaces and to let go of our worries and embrace the very kingdom of God. So worry is a paradox. The more we do it, the less it works. But the kingdom of God is an even greater paradox, that the more we give it away, the greater it works in this world as well. Thanks be to God. Will you bow your heads with me as we pray? Almighty and precious God, we do give you thanks. Lord, we give you thanks for your word. We give you thanks for your kingdom. We give you thanks for your grace. We live in a life where we worry how in the world we'll be able to hold it together. But Lord, you live in a kingdom, have created a kingdom for us where you simply worry if we will turn towards you. You have always been there for us. You have given us everything that we have ever needed. Allow us to turn from just the basic things that we might spend more time and more energy on the higher things. For the things that we are reluctant to let go, Lord, allow us a small bit of freedom that we can loosen our grasp to begin to give away the signs and the grace of your kingdom for free. Let us put our concerns aside and to take up the concerns of the world, that we might not worry as the nations of the world worry, but we might work as the children of God work in helping to build your kingdom, and that that might begin even here today. As we do this all, and as we pray this all, in Jesus' name, amen.